In Acts chapter 16, we're going to talk about chains. What are we chained to? What are you chained to? What is chaining you down? Can you overcome those chains? We're going to talk about chains. In Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas, Paul is on his second missionary trip, and they're headed off, and they're in a town. And in this town, there's this girl that follows them everywhere. And the inference is that she's mocking everywhere they go. Have you ever been mocked by what you believe? You ever mocked when you're proclaiming the gospel, when you're sharing with someone, "Oh, I don't believe that. That can't be true." Well, she's following them going, "Oh, these are the men of the Most High God. Listen to what they have to say." Well, when you first read through that, you think, well, that's a good thing. But the inference is that it's mocking. It's a mocking tone. And this girl, she has, is she okay? Her right eye is hurting her. Let's pray for faith. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we just speak to this eye right now, and we command it to stop hurting. We speak life to this eye right now in Jesus' name. We declare pain has to leave. Life must be restored. Light must be restored in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Satan, you can't have her. You can't have any part of her. You have to restore 100-fold what you've tried to steal from her in Jesus' name. We declare health and wholeness, life in her eye right now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. No pain in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father. See, they're about to enter into a time of darkness. What happens is Paul gets tired of hearing this woman. She is possessed of a devil. She's a fortune teller. She's a fortune teller who goes around telling fortunes, making money for her owners. And Paul gets tired of it. And he casts the devil out of her. Now she can't fortune tell anymore. So what happens? Her owners get upset. And they take Paul and Silas and they have them thrown in jail for taking away their source of income. In other words, he closed down their store. He had it shut down. He took away their ability to make money off of this slave girl who could fortune tell because she was possessed by a devil. How do you think she feels now? She's been set free from a devil. Do you think she's happier now? She's been set free from a devil. But now Paul and Silas are in prison. They're chained in prison. It says in the midnight hour, in the darkest time, the midnight hour is the darkest time. Last night, just to give you an idea how late I stay up sometimes, it's after 11, the house is dark, I'm getting ready to close it up, I've just turned off the light on the microwave, and I turn around and there's Josiah. And he scared me. It's dark in the house and there's a body standing there, and I'm scared. And I look at him like, "Oh God, Josiah." And so I take him back to bed. Paul and Silas, it's midnight in a prison cell. And they're in chain. They're chained to the floor. Come on. You ever felt chained to the floor, incapable of moving? Something has just happened and you're crushed and you feel chained by it? They're chained in darkness. It's the midnight hour. And so they do something that most of us wouldn't do. Most of us would sit and go, "Oh God, it's so bad. Oh God, it's so bad. What are we going to do? We're going to die. We're going to die." I've been there. I know that feeling when something so bad happens and you think, "Oh God, what are we going to do?" But it says that they sang hymns. They sang. They opened their mouths and they sang. They didn't have an overhead projection. They didn't have a synthesizer. They didn't have electric guitar. They didn't have a worship leader leading them in the words. They had something memorized in their hearts. They sang a song that was in their hearts. They started maybe singing something like, Jesus, 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 like the fragrance after the rain. And they were singing. And as they sang, Master, Savior, Jesus, the chains fell off. And they didn't just fall off of Paul and Silas. It says the chains fell off of everybody. The atmosphere of heaven, as they began to sing hymns, was so strong that the chains fell off of everybody in the prison. Can you come to church and open your heart and put aside differences and put aside doctrinal issues and just Jesus? There's just something about that name. Kings and kingdoms shall all fade away, but there's something about that name. And the chains fall off of you, and the darkness begins to lift off of you, and the chains start falling off of the people around you, because now you're inviting through you the atmosphere of heaven. Chains begin to fall off. We become a receptacle for the atmosphere of heaven. And the atmosphere of heaven begins to come out from our innermost being as rivers of living water that change us and change those around us. And the chains begin to fall off. Maybe your circumstances physically don't change that moment. But what's more important is on the inside, you're not chained to that thing anymore. The darkness doesn't overcome you anymore. Your eyes adjust and you see it's just your 7-year-old son standing there in the dark. And then you're not afraid. The chains begin to come off, and you know what happens next? The jailer comes in and he sees that the gates are open wide to the prison. So the gates of the prison are open. The chains are off every person in the prison. But nobody has left. And the jailer comes in, and he sees the chains have been removed and that the gates are open, and he seeks to kill himself. And Paul says, don't! Don't kill yourself. We're all here. We didn't leave. The chains are off. Something supernatural happened. Something supernatural happened. The chains came off. They were never chained spiritually. They were free in the spirit. They were free in their hearts. They never let that circumstance chain them to the floor. They never let the darkness of the prison cause them to back off in fear. They sat there and sang to Jesus. They sang hymns. They sang to him. They had a hopeless situation. I'm telling you what, Faith had to go to the doctor on Friday. We've got a hopeless situation. No, but we're not chained in darkness to that. The Lord told me this week, I was taking a shower. You know what he told me? I was praying in the shower. You don't have to, I shower with clothes on. So you don't have to, I have orange swim trunks and a tank top, and that's how I shower. So you can, they're flowers. They're hibiscus flowers. Kathy can't stand them. I'm in the shower and I'm praying, and the Lord said, don't be chained to a method. Don't be chained to a method. Because I'm thinking in my mind all the things, because she's been having pain in her right eye, I'm thinking all the things and how God can fix it and how God can help it and how God can turn it around. And he said, don't be chained to a method. Don't be chained to a method. God doesn't want us to be chained to anything other than him. Chains keep us bound in darkness. Come on, even if you have a method, you think, well, I know if I do this and I do that and I do this, then God's going to be, no, God's already pleased with you. Don't be chained to, I have to do this in order for God to be pleased with me. God already loves you. I get upset at my kids sometimes. I never stop loving them. They disobey me. They pay consequences. But I never stop loving them. God never stops loving us. His love is pure for us. His mercies are new every morning for us. Don't live in condemnation. In the middle of the night, I can get up and I can go to the bathroom. I have my house memorized. I don't have to worry about tripping over anything because before I go to bed, I make sure the path is clear. If I have to get up in the middle of the night and go do something, I have memorized in my heart the floor plan. If you have memorized in your heart that God is for you, that God is going to help you, that God is the deliverer, that God is your redeemer, that God is your healer, then no matter what kind of physical circumstances you're facing, if you've got that memorized, nothing else matters. If you've got memorized, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world, nothing else matters. If you have memorized in your heart, by his stripes I was healed, nothing else matters. Someone might say to you, well, sometimes God puts sickness. No, don't believe that, because then that makes God a liar, because God said, behold, I am the Lord your God, your healer. And I will put none of these afflictions on you that have come on the Egyptians. You're not an Egyptian. You're not part of the world. You're part of the redeemed. You're part of the family of God. He doesn't put sickness and disease on you. Not even to help you learn. Not even to help you learn. He does nothing. There is no darkness in him at all. No shadow of turning. No variableness of light. He is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Come on. One of the best movie lines, and you can dislike me over this or not, comes from Harry Potter. And it's Albus Dumbledore. I just love this. He said, happiness can be found even in the darkest of times, if you just remember to turn on the light. If you just remember to turn on the light, where do we find light? We find it in Jesus. We find it in his word. If we have memorized him in us, even in the darkest times, we can be happy. You can be struggling and going through stuff and still have a song in your heart. You can still be happy. Why? Because you have the light inside of you. When we come here in the mornings on Sundays and we worship and we sing and we give God praise and we give him adoration and we exalt him, we're releasing from our inside that light of God that's in us, and we're joining together, and the light of God becomes greater in this place than darkness. We could turn off all the lights in here. Yeah, I reference back to that because I don't want to lose my place. But, you know, I don't need it. If all the electricity went out, I could preach without that. I could preach without the lights. Why? Because it's in me. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. I have overcome the world. I do not fear the world. I am greater than the world. I am greater than the world because he's in me. Paul and Silas knew greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. So when they're faced with midnight and they're in chains of darkness, come on, it's midnight, it's dark, in chains. You're not part of that. Psalm 23 says, and people see, this is like the most commonly quoted passage of scripture in the whole wide world at funerals. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. He prepares a feast. There's a feast of all the good things that God has for us. Right now. Whenever you're going through something, there's a feast that he has prepared for you. 1,000 may fall at my hand, 10,000 at my right side, but it shall not come near me. Only with my eyes shall I look and see the destruction that comes on the wicked at noonday. Why? because it's in me. I can face something and I can be afraid on the outside. And I might have some trembling in my hand over it. But on the inside, I'm releasing the light into the situation. With my mouth, I'm releasing light into the situation. If you're like Paul and you're chained and you're in darkness, you've got it memorized. You've got it memorized. You've got it in your heart. Those chains don't have to overcome you. Just because everybody in your school is doing it doesn't mean you have to do it too. I will bless the Lord at all times. I will bless the Lord at all times. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Psalm 103, 2 through 4. And forget not all his benefits. Oh, come on. He's got benefits. It's better than any insurance program. He's got better benefits. His benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. What are his benefits? He forgives all your sins. You don't have to go around going, oh, I was so bad when I did this, and this was so rotten, and I was such a crud, and man, I just really messed up, and I really screwed up. No, he forgives all your sins. Stop it. Stop with the you're so bad. Stop with the I really screwed up. Stop with the I really messed it up. Stop it. He forgives all your sins, not just the ones you want him to, but the ones you don't even want to bring before him. He forgives those too. He forgives you. You just have to ask him. He heals all your diseases. All. Cancer, multiple sclerosis, hole in the heart, eye problems. Come on. All your diseases. All. He doesn't put diseases on us. He heals them. He heals us from all diseases. God isn't waiting somewhere to try to teach you a lesson. Well, here, a little bit of cancer will help you draw close to me. No! Stop that foolishness. A little cancer isn't going to help you draw close to God unless you get killed by it and through radiation, and then you're with him. But you're with him here now. Enjoy the here now. Paul said the thorn in the flesh was a messenger sent from Satan to buffet him. It was a messenger of Satan. It wasn't a messenger of God. And the reason was because Paul was being exalted above the normal status of man. And so Satan, listen, if you're just floating by, Satan probably isn't after you. But if you're exalted above the normal stature of man, if you're working at it and you're growing and persecution and tribulation start coming at you, because that's everything he listed before he said a messenger of Satan. It was shipwreck. It was being stoned. It was being persecuted. Not the California kind of stoned, but the Old Testament kind of stoned. Okay? We got to clarify that. Paul didn't go around stoned. But he did get stoned on several occasions, left for dead, shipwrecked, a night and a day in the sea. Then he says, that messenger was sent from Satan. Those things don't come from God. Jesus said, in this world you're going to have tribulation, but do not fear. I have overcome the world. Greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. Don't be chained to the problem. Don't be chained to the circumstance. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Your life has been redeemed from the pit. I'm not in chains of darkness in a prison cell anymore. Come on, stand up straight. Shoulders back, chin high. You're a child of the Most High God, crowned with love and compassion. He's got better things for you. Don't you sit around receiving the curse. God did not send the curse. He doesn't want you to live under a curse. Don't pronounce you're cursed. Don't talk curse, talk blessing. The blessing, he said, if you'll obey him, the blessing of the Lord will come upon you and overtake you. Come on, that the blessing of God wants to overtake you. It wants to come upon you and overtake you. Don't live with the curse. That's not from God. Don't live in chains of darkness. They're not from God. Don't be chained to how he's going to fix the situation. His wisdom is greater than ours. He's got many different ways that he can heal you. For example, Jesus had spoken to blind people, hadn't he? And he said, eyes be open, right? In one case, He picks up some dirt, spits in it, rubs it in the man's eye. Is Jesus married to a method? Not even Jesus is married to a method. Don't be married to a method. In Genesis 1, I love this. I love this. In Genesis 1, God comes on the scene. He says the earth is without form and void. And he says, let there be light. The sun isn't created for several days. Did God need the sun to create light? Do we need the sun to create light? No. Don't be married to a method. Come on. God didn't need the sun to create light. He just said, light be, and there was light. Several days later, he creates the sun. And he sets the planets in orbit and sets a rotation. But in the meantime, he didn't need the sun to have light. He didn't need the sun to have light. We have to trust him. Malachi, for example, he says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse, and I will open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing for you that you won't even be able to receive it all. That's a promise. That's a blessing. It's an action of obedience, bringing all your tithe into the storehouse, and he opens the windows of heaven. You know what he says he'll do for you? He's going to rebuke the devourer for your sake. Well, you don't have to rebuke the devourer. If you're bringing your tithe into the storehouse, you don't have to rebuke the devourer. You just receive the abundance of the blessing of the open windows of heaven poured out for you. Peter was walking in the abundance of the open windows of heaven poured out for him. When he's walking on the streets of Jerusalem and they're bringing out the sick so that they could be healed just by touching his shadow. But we have to have it memorized in our hearts. We have to have the blessings memorized. We have to have the promises in our hearts. We have to be the ones who actively participate in receiving. On Christmas morning or on a birthday, whatever you celebrate, because there's so many different ideas, whatever you're celebrating, your kids, do you have to force them to take the presents? I have never had to force my children to take a present and to unwrap it, except on their first birthday because they don't know what to do. But after that first birthday, after that first Christmas, they've got it down, don't they? Sometimes you think, can you open it along the seam where I taped it because this is such pretty wrapping. And some people keep their bows from year to year. No, throw it out. Get new next year. Let your children rip them apart. That's receiving. God wants us to actively receive from him. He's going to rebuke the devourer for your sake. The blessings of God are going to come upon you and overtake you. Paul stood in the darkness and stayed in the light. Come on. Paul was in darkness, but he stayed in the light. The darkness couldn't overcome him. Where does the light come from? Let there be light. And there was light. Jesus was from the beginning. He is the light. When we let him into us, we let the light in. Okay. God sent an angel to Mary. Most of us are married to the method. You're going to have a baby? There's a method. Mary conceived of a son without a man. That's against the method, isn't it? He brought water from a rock. How many people have ever seen a rock just suddenly open up and start springing forth water? No, because rocks don't naturally have water in them, do they? Are we married to the method? You have to find a spring, a spring and find that fresh water. Or if God says, go tap on that rock, go tap on that rock. Go speak to that rock, right? Married to the method. Moses went out. God told him to hit the rock with his staff. The next time he said, you go speak to it. Moses was married to the method, not to the master. He disobeyed. He got off method. He stayed in method and off of God. And God rebuked him and said, because you disobeyed this time, you don't get to go into the promised land. Don't be married to the method. God's not married to a method. When they left the land of Egypt, right? Children of Israel left the land of Egypt and they hit the Red Sea. What has happened? God says, take your staff, right? Part the waters. Children of Israel getting ready to go into the promised land. Different. You have the priests go and stand in the water, and the waters will separate. You have to be listening to what he says. We have to not be married to the method, not be chained to the method, not be chained to what we think has to happen. Otherwise, we're chained in darkness. Because it's not going to work if we're not listening to him, if we're not following him, then we're chained to the method, not to the master. Going into the land of promise, of overflowing with milk and honey. And God would go before them. And he'd make a way. They get to Jericho. This is different. You go out there, you march around those walls for 7 days. Don't say anything. Right? If we're not listening on the seventh day, we're going to think, go march around those walls seven times. Don't say anything. That's not the word. You go out there, you do it, and you shout. And the walls came down. Don't be married to what happened yesterday. God might have told you, this is how you're going to get this issue solved today. Tomorrow, it's not going to be the same way. The children of Israel in the wilderness, they had to prepare themselves that at any moment the cloud was going to lift and start moving, and they had to follow it. They couldn't just be chained to this one spot and stay there for 40 years. They had to be willing to get up and follow him every day. Where is he going to lead today? Is he going to take us somewhere today? How much longer? Manna, we talked about that. Manna, you can't just go out and get it for every day this week and keep it. You've got to go every day and seek him. Every day and find out, what is it that he wants to do today? If you're a child of God, tithing and planting, come on, if you're a child of God, tithing and planted in the house of God, he will do outstanding things for you. But we have to be planted. We have to be planted. What are you going to do today, Lord? How do you want me to proceed today, Lord? What do you want me to do today? Come on, I tell you, I go to him, I'm like, Lord, I don't know what to wear. I'm the only person with that problem? Come on. I don't know what to wear. I don't know where to go. Lord, I need a job. Where should I go? Lord, I need something to change in this situation. How am I supposed to do it? Are you supposed to go on Indeed? Craigslist? You're supposed to go on, you know, monster.com? Does God want you to drive in your car and park in front of some place and say, okay, God, that doesn't say help wanted out there, but you go in anyway because you're listening to him. It sets us apart because we're following him. Just like the children of Israel did in the wilderness. Today, we're still called to follow him. Today, we're still called not to be kept in chains and a method, but to be following after him. You might not have the best paying job in the world. That's a traditional source. Does that mean don't have a job? No. God said if a man should not work, neither should he eat. Oops. Don't work, don't eat. That's God. He said that. We're supposed to be tilling the ground. If we keep giving and we keep being planted in the house of God and we keep him memorized in our hearts, you might not have the best job today, but you know, your job isn't your source. God is your source. You're just faithful and obedient. You go out, you get that job, you work that job, you till the ground, you do the things that God told you to do, and God's going to bless you outside of what you think is your source. He's going to cause your shoes not to wear out. He's going to cause your car to go longer. Those are ways to be blessed, aren't they? If you don't have to build up a new payment for another car because the car you've got just keeps going. Don't be chained to a method. The children of Israel went into the desert wearing the same sandals they went into the promised land wearing. Come on. We don't have to be chained. I know it's not. Listen, they didn't have Paris runways, you know, back then. People weren't slaves to fashion like we are now. Dana was sharing with the youth on Wednesday night this testimony of this man. And he was at the gym with his stepson. And he felt this horrific pain in his chest. He said, we need to go. They go to the doctor. His heart has exploded. All his blood is in his abdomen. The doctor says, we're going to do this surgery. And he says, but you just said there's no hope. He said, well, there's no hope either because your heart exploded. There's no blood in your heart. There's no blood in your brain. Yet here you are talking to me. So we're going to do the surgery and we're going to see what happens. There was no blood in his brain. No blood in his heart. It was all here. There was just naturally looking at him, there was no hope. But yet there he is standing there talking. God wants us free. God wants us healed. God doesn't want us living subpar lives. God wants us blessed. Jeremiah 3:21 says, yet I recall to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish, for his mercies never end. Yet I will recall to mind, I will bring to mind when I'm going and I'm in chains of darkness. I will remember he's the one who brings light. He's the restorer of sight. He's the healer. He's the one who raises from the dead. He's the one who casts devils out. It's in his name that we do those things. So when I have a situation and it feels dark, then I remind myself, he is the Lord my healer. He is the Lord my provider. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's Jehovah Tsidkenu. When I don't feel righteous, he's my righteousness. Because the God of righteousness dwells in me. I don't have to try to attain to righteousness. I am righteous because he lives in me. He is Jehovah Tsidkenu. He's Jehovah Jireh, my provider. The prophet says, cast your bread upon the waters, and after many days it will come back to you. You cast your tithe, you put your tithe before God, he says it's going to come back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, will men pour out into your bosom? Bonuses, better jobs, more sales, better opportunities, trusting God. When it's dark, don't stop doing. When you're in trouble and the chains are tight around your wrist, don't stop doing what you know to do. When the doctors say there's no change, don't stop. The doctor isn't Jesus. Come on. The doctor's not your healer. They can give you a diagnosis, and they can give you chemotherapy, and chemotherapy kills more cancer patients than cancer does. That's why we don't take it, right, Faye? Don't memorize your account balance. Memorize your source. Don't say, I can't afford it. Say, I choose not to. I choose not to spend my money that way. Don't say I'm broke. You're going to be broke. As long as you keep saying you're broke, you're going to be broke. You broke. I'm broke. We're broke. We're always broke. It always seems, every time something, we get a little bit of money, something breaks down. Stop it! You're keeping yourself in chains. You're keeping yourself bound to poverty. Don't say those things. Side with God. He says, I have an abundance for you. He said, I'm going to give you overflowing more than you can receive. I'm going to open the windows of heaven for you. Those things will make you miserable. You think about that. You're in chains of darkness. And you have memorized what the doctor said. And you just go over it and over it and over it. You're keeping yourself in chains. When you go over and over how badly your parents treated you. How much you went without as a child growing up. Get over it. Stop it. Stop rehearsing what's wrong. Stop rehearsing, I have multiple sclerosis. Stop saying, I have multiple sclerosis. Don't say it. Don't say, I have a cold. No, don't say it. Don't say, every year I get this cold. Every year at allergy season, I've got to do this, that, and the other thing. Don't. Trust me, I know it's not easy to remember that every time. But you got to get it memorized in your heart. If he's the healer, do you get an annual cold? No. If he's your healer, do you get the annual flu? No. Those things will make you miserable. They'll keep you unhappy because now you're looking forward to it. Well, winter's on its way. I'm going to get the flu pretty soon. Spring is on its way. Get out the allergy medications. No, memorize his promises. Memorize his faithfulness. He is faithful. It says he is faithful to 1,000 generations. He is faithful. Be chained to him. Be chained to the light. Be chained to the promises. And then when it comes to you and you've got the song and things are starting to get dark. Well, Faith was having some pain in her eye this week. And I'm telling you what, I was holding my baby and I was singing, Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, the fragrance after the rain. And as she's sitting there, there was so much peace, wasn't there? There was still pain in the eye, but there was peace, wasn't there? Peace, and she could start to go to sleep. Why? Because we're not chained to the pain. We're not chained to the prognosis. We're not chained to the method, but we're chained to Jesus. And we can have peace in the middle of a storm, but we have to have it memorized in us. Now's the time for Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let all heaven and earth proclaim. And then all of a sudden, keep singing, and kingdoms all pass away, but there's something about that name. And you can have peace in the middle of the trial, and the chains that are trying to hold you back, the chains that are trying to bring you, make you miserable, the chains that are trying to get you off focus from the one who set you free, suddenly you have peace. And the chains begin to break off, the prison doors start to open, and you can walk away from that thing. In Jesus' name. Amen. Look at that, it's 10 minutes to 12. It seems like we just got started. Father, we thank you this morning, because you have set us free. You have delivered us. You have healed us. You've set your love upon us. Therefore, we will set our love upon you. And we will bless you and honor you throughout every day this week. And we choose to memorize you so that we are not chained to the circumstances, not chained to the situation, but we're chained to the precious love of Jesus. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.